slaughterhogs.
Right.
And the business prospered.
It prospered very much.
Many
of the restaurants. It was so prosperous, said Harry, that they said later that Opa was the second best butcher in the town.
As far as
and they said
volume of business.
He was very rich, said what they said.
Very rich,
but we don't know. But he did very well. But Omar, there was an aunt who brought all of us up. Me, Irma, and Ruth. She stayed on.
You mean it was a sister of Omar's?
Of Omar's first husband.
Oh, it was Sister Stern. It was Martha Stern?
That is a Martha Stern, which I mentioned first.
Right. She married very late. And from that relationship, Harry, comes in the relationship from all the aunts and the relatives in Paris. From the
from
first,
the Stern side.
Yes.
From the Stern side.
Yes, of course.
What
from
is the name? What are the two guys? The
Demensteins.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because the sisters. You know, in Oberreidenbach there was a family, Jakob Stern. And the people abbreviated the name Jakob. Because probably his grandmother, mother, called that Stern, the father of all these aunts, called him Koppel.
Right.
Koppel is the abbreviation of Jakob, Jakobchen, Koppel. L is the diminutive, Koppel. And so when you came in Oberreidenbach, they didn't call the girls the Sterns, they were called the Koppels.
There were four sisters. And one of the sisters met this Frenchman. I don't know the connection.
She went as a young girl to Paris as a housemaid.
Probably.
Right.
Country girls went into families and became maids
right.
or baby nurses and things like that. And she went to Stern and married there a Frenchman who was a furrier. And he probably was of Eastern descent, and his original name must have been Diamantstein, yes? And that was
like
French.
Diamond Stone?
Diamantstein. Right, yes.
And then the four sisters stayed all their life in Oberreidenbach.
I can only remember that Oma and Opa had fights. They had disagreements.
It was all right.
But that he had a temper.
Oh.
No, she had a temper.
And she too. Both had very big temper.
Right. Good. And I remember once when he threw a table at her. Picked up a table like that.
Yes, he was very strong.
He picked up their dining
room. With a big butcher knife. Behind my mother.
Okay, but
yeah.
All
and one time he had. No, one time he had.
All in good fun.
You have no. Possible.
We have had our times here too.
I was there 4 years watching that.
Yeah.
You know, it was my dinner table there.
That was your being? You were living in. Okay.
When I officiated in Oberstein Ida.
Mm-hmm.
I needed a kosher home to have my meals. And for generations, the Sterns and then later on the Schubachs.
Is that how you met her?
Yeah,
basically?
Sure.
You know, she was sitting over the on the other side of the table and you were lusting for her.
Hmm? No. She was too young. I wrote home. When I wrote about that family, I wrote home. And there is a girl, she is about 13 years old, and she thinks I have to. Caught her. Ich war so eingebildet. In German, I said, ich denke, ich muss ihr den Hof machen. I was a very handsome man, by the way.
Leitmutter? Yes. Oh, the pictures of you two.
Pictures, yeah. When I know, you say I had that blonde hair.
She was gorgeous.
Curves.
She was.
I was gorgeous.
She was absolutely.
Okay.
With you had the picture, is it flowers or something? You have something like flowers. Maybe,
was a wedding.
The wedding thing.
Yes.
Incredible.
The veil was wrapped around the head.
Incredibly beautiful.
Yes. But her mother, as far as treating her father is concerned, yes, she could ride him.
Sishman.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, and she acted as if she is really the provider.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and...
That could antagonize him.
Oh, my, she could get up his gander.
Mm-hmm.
And
he
was actually a harmless man. He had only one thing on his mind. That means to run his business, to make enough money, so Hannah could spend money. Yes.
Oma had a lot of money all stored away because you opened up.
She only went to the stores with the tilt and took it out.
Yeah.
And
you know,
the children were
all
well
dressed. They didn't know how much was in
and,
there. What was
you know, and how many people were in the house that had to be fed and wages had to be paid to journeymen, to apprentices, maid upstairs. And then there were always a number of hangers on that came out of the neighborhood and from all around, yes, for little favors. They got.
And Oma gave so much
and
of
fat
away.
And
oh, she gave so
wurst
much
and all kind of stuff. And Oma, as a mother, she was, when it came to other people, most generous. Unbelievable how much went out the windows. And I don't know what caused that. Then Opa, he had to get up sometimes so terribly early in the morning because he had to go out into the country to buy cattle. You know, it was not so like it is here, that was nothing but wholesale. Everything was retail, even the cattle deal.
He
had to herd from some farmer, had a heifer that was in good condition. It had not had have a calf, so it was on the right after spring. It had stood always in the stable, so it had put on some fat, yes, and now it was spring, and it had got fresh feed on the out of the pasture, and he heard about that, you know, there was always something, aha. Then he would go to any hour of time, would go there, and...
He had to walk.
And walk out there. Then he drove that piece of cattle home by hand on a string. Maybe.
Or they brought it. I remember that we often had people come who brought it.
They would bring their stuff too.
Most of the pigs were usually brought, but cattle, they didn't have those wagons. Anyway, he had a hard life, and then he worked from morning to night. Sometimes when there was a little lull in the business, he would go up and sit in a chair, and he could just sleep in any position in the chair. And then suddenly Hannah would come in. Sigmund, steh auf, du fauler Kerl!
You can remember that game.
No.
But you can imagine. You can imagine it.
Yeah, I remember we had such a beautiful gaslight. Do you remember that beautiful gaslight in that Schlafzimmer and their bedroom?
Yeah, later on everything was electrified.
He broke it. Okay. No,
he's in a rage.
Those are her childhood memories.
No, you know, the nicest thing I think was a scripture in the living room where we lived. It said, "You are the man in the house."
That she brought that home and that had it framed. And it says, "I am the boss in the house." But what my wife says, that's being done.
And he threw that 3 times down. And 4 times Oma replaced it. Every time it was replaced.
Fantastic.
Oh, God. I never had a happy marriage besides it, because they went out every Sunday night to the hotels. They had to go to every hotel
where Opa delivered.
So I still had a happy marriage. Oma had as much money as she wanted, and she bought everything.
Oberstein Ida was a custom in summer, around this time that started and went then into fall, people made Spießbraten, that means roast on the spit, yes? And the big restaurants that had outdoor facilities, I don't mean toilets, yeah, they had those big beer gardens.
Right.
With tables under the trees and benches. They had in their backyards also, you call them now, barbecue pits.
Right.
Yes. Right.
And there they made big fires, and then beef that was specially prepared was roasted on the spit there.
Oh, that was delicious.
And they figured at a party, a pound of beef per person.
You know, it was rolled. Inside was full of salt, pepper, and chopped onions. That was all.
Sounds terrific.
Oh, that was delicious.
And Opa had a tremendous following of clubs and organizations that came for Spießbraten to him. Yes. And so if there were 50 people in such a group, there was a meat order for 50 pounds of beef. But that was also a job to cut the right pieces off, shape them, that they could be rolled.
That they could be rolled.
That was rolled.
And turned on a spit.
Right.
It was first rolled with string, yes?
Yeah.
And those pieces went on the pit and turned and turned and turned to the right.
But we only had that pleasure for our household, maybe once a year we had. That was the biggest thing for us.
But Spießbraten, you see, and that is heavily spiced, and that works up a thirst for beer.
And then you consume
and the
beer.
You see, that is what the beer gardens figured on the people.
They get people thirsty and then they drink the beer.
Yes,
right.
Yes.
Where were the wolves from, though? Were they from Koblenz, too, or were they from
a different place? From Ockenheim.
Ockenheim.
Near Bingen am Rhein.
Okay, so that was, all right. Okay. It's a little hard sometimes to get all of the geography
Ockenheim,
again.
Oberstein, Oberreidenbach, these all names that get so easily.
How did you get there, though? How did you get to Oberstein?
Well, how did...
I was in the Jewish community in Germany. Most congregations were not financially able to maintain an ordained rabbi. And the rabbis were highly prized because they had first to have a secular education in a university to have a PhD. There were very few recognized rabbis in congregations that did not have their PhD. We didn't call our rabbis Herr Rabbiner, we said Herr Doktor.
Right.
After they had their PhD, they had to have 4 years of concentrated Hebrew and rabbinical studies. Yes. So a rabbi had studied 8 years after he went not to a regular high school. In Germany, the high schools were also differently organized. Most people left the high school. In the first place, most people didn't go to high school. They went to grade school for 8 years.
Right.
Yes? And then they choose in which direction they want to go. If they wanted to have a trade, they became apprentices. And while they were apprentices, they had to go 2 afternoons to a Berufsschule, to a trade school, where they had to learn the theory and the mathematics and the German, the language, to become later tradesmen. They had to become masters. An apprentice served 3 to 4 years. Then he became a journeyman. And he had to be at least a journeyman for 4 years before he could settle down anywhere and become a master. Mm-hmm. For a master, he had to pass a guild examination. Very strict. So 8 years was enough for the general population to go to school, elementary school. And say, I would say, except for languages, for foreign languages, the students who came out of the average German elementary school after 8 years had a better academic background than people who come out here out of 10 years of high school.
Right.
Yes, there's no doubt. I mean, I saw that when I came here to America. I was appalled when I saw what poor condition the education was. Okay, but when parents could afford it, high schools had to be paid for tuition. High school started after the 4th year in elementary school. Then you were sexta, that was the 6th grade from top. The top grade in high school, in German high school, was the prima. And the schools start going down to sexta. Sexta, quinta, quarta, Untertertia, Untersekunda. After the Untersekunda, a student usually quit when he did not choose an academic career.
Right.
After Untersekunda, he had what they call the intermediate maturity, which was also called das Einjährige. Because if a man with that qualification entered the military service, he had to serve only 1 year, while all people who came out of grade school and did not make the intermediate maturity had to serve 3 years in the army. So das war das Einjährige or the intermediate maturity. Then those who decided to go into academic professions, they had to continue 3 more years. That was the Obersekunda, the Unterprima, and the Oberprima. And after the Oberprima, you pass an examination, which